this week to look at roads. The road to. Remember, the Lord Jesus presents two roads, the broad road and the narrow road. The moment we were born, all ranks of humanity were put on that broad road. By one man, sin entered into the world, death by sin, for death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And the Lord says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The broad road leads to destruction. We must make that U-turn to the narrow road at the place called Calvary. That's where you make a change of direction, the place called Calvary. Now, yesterday at the Bible Hour, we looked at the road to deliverance. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will abundantly pardon. The road to deliverance. Last night we looked at the road to discovery. The man from Ethiopia discovered the loveliness of the living word and the beauty also of the written word. Beginning at the same scripture, Philip preached unto him Jesus. Tonight we want to look with you at the road to devotion. Come with me, please, to the Acts of the Apostles. Last night it was chapter 8, the road to discovery, Acts chapter 9. We have the road to devotion. Reading verse 1, Acts 9 and verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. The Lord again will bless to us the reading of his precious word. Here he was on the road to Damascus, but it ultimately became the road to devotion. In verse 1, we are introduced to his character, this man Saul of Tarsus, his character. Then secondly, in verse 3, or rather verse 2, we see his course. And then his conversion, where he made that U-turn on the Damascus road, from the broad road to the narrow road. His character. This man, Saul of Tarsus, was very, very well educated. Lord Birkenhead, in his book Turning Points in World History, compares Saul of Tarsus with Napoleon Bonaparte and Alexander the Great. He says, Alexander the Great was a pygmy. Napoleon was a creature of a moment. But Saul of Tarsus was a colossus. Turning points in world history. No indication that he was a believer. But he knew something about Saul of Tarsus. It was obvious that he was well educated. In fact, in the field of academics, they've said he had the equivalent of at least 6 doctorates. Certainly he was a doctor of the law. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. well educated. We also discover that he was a zealot, a fanatical zealot. He wrote to the Philippians that he was circumcised and that he was of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, a zealot. But he was very earnest, of course, in his belief, because he wrote to Timothy that he did those things ignorantly. And he was a very, very proud man, his character. Notice his course, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, desired to him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, and if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. His hatred for the Lord Jesus and his people reached its zenith here. But as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined a light round about him, a light from heaven. Paul never forgot that day when he saw the light. Later on, he called it a great light, and a light above the brightness of the noonday sun. The persecuting sinner was Saul of Tarsus. But how gratifying to see the pleading Savior. A pleading Savior. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He found this first lesson, that when you touch the Lord Jesus, you touch his people. And when you touch his people, you touch the Lord Jesus. He found that vital lesson on the road to Damascus. Who art thou, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus. He discovered for the first time that the Jehovah of the Old Testament was the Jesus of the New. Here is the pleading Savior. He got the vision and he heard the voice. I am Jesus. I mentioned last night traveling from Detroit to Port Huron. Large stretch of highway, nothing but trees, and a piece of plywood, large piece of plywood, and on that piece of plywood were those words, you need Jesus. I am Jesus. Jesus, oh how sweet the name. There is a name I love to hear. I love to speak its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, we have Jesus the Savior. Here is Jesus the Sovereign. And in Revelation 22 is Jesus the Star. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus the Savior. Here it's Jesus the Sovereign. You touch my people, you touch me. He learned that vital lesson. He is always in complete control. He is the one who is in every circumstance of life. And he moved in to meet Saul of Tarsus on that awful mission. And he made that U-turn that day. I am Jesus. Jesus the Sovereign. I am Jesus. The Revelation, the last chapter, again he speaks, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. My friends, we're living in the days of darkness and they're intensifying. And very soon the Lord will appear in outer space as the bright and the morning star. We wait to see the morning star appear in glory bright. This blessed hope illumines with beams most cheering the hours of night. I am Jesus. We discover in the scriptures that religious people, they need Jesus. Nicodemus, Aren't thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? Nicodemus, your religion is taking you nowhere. Ye must be born again. An old Irish preacher, no matter his subject, he always finished up with, ye must be born again. Someone asked him, why do you always finish up with, ye must be born again? Well, he said, because ye must be born again. Religious people need Jesus. Saul of Tarsus discovered that his religion was taking him further and further away from God on the broad road. Again, as I mentioned, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. He was very religious. And we saw last night the man from Central Africa came 1,500 miles to Jerusalem for to worship. 1,500 miles. He never found what he was looking for in the religious system of Judaism. We saw the priests, he saw the morning and evening sacrifice, but it meant nothing to him, and his going home discouraged despondent. But the seeking sinner will always find the seeking Savior. And the Lord sent Philip, and then we saw last night that the Holy Spirit says, join thyself to this chariot. The Holy Spirit was riding on the chariot on the way back with that man from Ethiopia. Religious, he came to worship, but he found only satisfaction in the Lord Jesus. Likewise, this man was very religious, but he discovered that was not enough. The great John Wesley came to this country as a missionary. And it wasn't until he got back once to England, he heard singing that appealed to him, went into a hall, and finally made that U-turn. He's very religious, but he discovered he had to meet the Lord Jesus. I am Jesus. Religious people need Jesus. Then in chapter 10, we find Cornelius was very religious. So these are three men, Acts 8, 9, and 10. The man from Africa, the man from Asia, and the man from Europe, all religious. And they discovered that was not enough. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Religious people need Jesus. And there's absolute confusion out there today with religion. Picked up a newspaper in Worcester, Massachusetts, and there was a large write-up about a Buddhist priest. His mother was very wicked and fed dog food to Buddhist monks, dog food, and she went to hell. He was concerned about this, so he decided to take a visit to hell, taking with him rice, which caught fire. The rice began to blow up with fire. So he got in touch with Buddha, and Buddha said, look, you get these monks to pray for your mother. And that's what they did. And guess what happened? The paper said, she went from hell to heaven. The absolute confusion, and people believe that kind of stuff. Religion is a mess. Religious people need Jesus. But certainly rebellious people need Jesus. Some 600 times in the four Gospels there's a reference to the Lord Jesus. And rebellious people, they need Jesus. Remember the centurion. The man that was instrumental and calling for the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, obeying the command of Pilate, and he gave the order for the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. Rebellious man. But then he saw something that he never anticipated. Here's a man upon a cross. He never saw a man die like this. Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. That caused a change in the attitude of that rebel, that centurion. And we read those words. He says, truly, this was the Son of God. And he glorified God. And the only way that you can glorify God is by acknowledging the deity of the Lord Jesus. Truly, this was the Son of God. He glorified God. Putting his life in jeopardy. Rebellious people need Jesus. The same, the two thieves on either side of the Lord Jesus. The scripture says they both blasphemed the Lord. But again, just like the centurion, one had a change of attitude. His friend says, dost thou not fear God? Seeing we're in the same condemnation, we indeed justly, we're getting what we deserve. This man has done nothing amiss. And he turned to the Lord and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He didn't look like a king, hanging there in agonies and blood, his back like a ploughed field, the foul, filthy spittle of man mingled with the hair of his beard, the crown of thorns, body emaciated. He didn't look like a king. And by the way of the Holy Spirit, he recognized that the Lord Jesus, that he was going to die, that he would rise again, and he would sit and rule upon a throne. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. So the centurion and the thief both were glorious to say they made that U-turn at Calvary's intersection that day. Rebellious people need Jesus. None righteous, no, not one. None that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. We are all as an unclean thing. We are rebels in the sight of the Lord. And you remember the jailer. There was Paul and Silas in prison singing praises to God at midnight, and the jailer is listening. Suddenly the earthquake. Paul says, do thyself no harm, we're all here. He was ready to commit suicide. He turned to the apostle, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That jailer that beat Paul and Silas suddenly went from the broad road to the narrow road, and there was his conversion. And that was the foundation of the church at Philippi. In a prison, the jailer, his family saved and brought into fellowship, and that was the commencement of the church at Philippi. Rebellious people need Jesus. Oh, who we think, and we love that hymn by John Newton. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. A drunk, a gambler, a slave trader, gloriously saved. There's no case too hard for the Lord. He has the capability of saving anyone who is willing to respond and willing to come and put their trust in him. I am Jesus. So religious people need Jesus. Rebellious people need Jesus. Rich people need Jesus. You remember Zacchaeus was obviously rich. You wonder where he got his riches, because you know what his occupation was. But he ran ahead, maybe out of curiosity, climbed the tree. And again, the seeking sinner. Probably curiosity was changed, and obviously to faith, because the Lord stopped there at the foot of the tree. Zacchaeus, come down. Make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. For as much as this day salvation is come to thy house. Rich people need Jesus. they can't count on their riches. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And people go to these state lotteries trying to make money, win money. And a recent survey, there's been more problems by people who have got this money, all kinds of physical, mental problems as a result of the money that they had accumulated. There's no satisfaction in the wealth of this world. And you remember also, there was a man called Joseph of Arimathea. And he was a rich man. That's what Matthew says, that he was a rich man. But he found the unprecedented, unparalleled riches that was in the Lord Jesus was far greater than all his wealth. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. So there again, putting their life in jeopardy, Nicodemus, the religious man, Joseph of Arimathea, the rich man, they begged the body of Jesus from Pilate and buried him in Joseph's new tomb. He came into this world through a virgin womb, and he went out of the world via a virgin tomb. Rebellious people need Jesus. Not only religious, rebellious and rich people, but royalty, they need Jesus. Down in the Christian village at Pittsburgh was a lady called Queenie Palmer. She came from Buffalo, New York at one time and was resident there at the Pittsburgh Christian village. She had a grandfather. His name was John Townshend. She was called Queen after Queen Victoria. And her grandfather, John Townshend, read in the court news something that really startled him. Queen Victoria said to her chaplain, and here is a quote, "Is it possible to be absolutely sure in this life of eternal safety?" The chaplain replied, "I know of no way that one could be absolutely sure." John Townshend read this in the court news. Suddenly, he put the wheels in motion to write to Queen Victoria. And this is what he wrote. "To her gracious majesty, our beloved Queen Victoria, from one of our most humble subjects, with trembling hands, but love-filled heart, and because I know that we can be absolutely sure, even now, of our eternal life in the home Jesus went to prepare, I would ask your most gracious majesty to read the following passages of Scripture. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And," he said, Romans 10:9. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Several days later, Townshend received this note from Queen Victoria. "Your letter of recent date received, and in reply, which state that I have carefully and prayerfully read the portions of Scripture referred to. I believe in the finished work of Christ for me, and trust by God's grace to meet you in that home of which," he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Signed, Victoria Guelph. Royalty need Jesus. When I was raised just a few miles outside Edinburgh, Scotland, there was a paper producing mill, and when she was at Holyrood Palace, desired to go out to this mill where she got her stationery. And she met the president of the company, who was conducting her round the mill where they produced the stationery with the coat of arms of Her Majesty the Queen. He was purposely veering her away from a certain building. She says, "What's in there?" "Oh, Your Majesty, You would not like to see what's in there. She says, I insist. She's the queen. Opened the door, and she almost fell backward with the smell of rags. They made the stationery from rags, not from wood pulp, in that particular building. So here's, rather a few days later, the stationery was sent down to Buckingham Palace. Beautiful white stationery, the coat of arms. And she wrote back to the president of the mill, that was just exactly like me. All my righteousnesses were as filthy rags. Now I'm washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Royalty need Jesus. The president, the members of the Congress, the Senate, they need Jesus. You need Jesus. Without an approach by faith, the confession of sin to the Lord Jesus, you still continue on the broad road that leads to destruction. Yes, religious people need Jesus. Rebellious people need Jesus. Very evident they need Jesus. Rich people, royalty, you need Jesus for salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. Not in Buddha, not in any other religious leader. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And there's no name more hated out there than the name of the Lord Jesus. But thank God there's no one more loved than the Lord Jesus. We love him because he first loved us. I am Jesus. You need Jesus for salvation, but you also need Jesus for security. Security. Well, we hear much today about social security and the problems relative to it. You need Jesus for security. He is the only foundation. He said to Peter at Caesarea Philippi, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Sinking sand, and then there's the rock. On the broad road, it's sinking sand. On the narrow road, it's the solid rock. An Irishman preaching in London many, many years ago, maybe a little homesick, thought of his native country, and the emblem is a shamrock. So he's preaching in London. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other rocks are shamrocks. All other rocks are shamrocks. We thank God that we are building upon this rock. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We were talking today to a friend about eternal security. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will pluck them out of my hand. We looked at five things relative to eternal security. The moment we trust the Lord Jesus, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. The seal of Imperial Rome was broken when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. That seal was put on that tomb. Satan thought that's the end of him. But up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Hallelujah. Christ arose. But be assured, my friend, the seal of the Holy Spirit, the day you trusted the Lord, can never be broken. He is all powerful. And the moment you trust the Lord Jesus, not only sealed by the Spirit, but we are indwelt by the Spirit. Paul said to the Ephesians, when you believed, you received the Holy Spirit. Amazing grace of God that would give the third person in the Trinity to take up his residence in your heart and in mine. Never cease to marvel. It's beyond human comprehension. We must appropriate this by faith, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit take up the residence in the heart the moment we believe. The Lord says, if you love me and keep my commandments, he says, I will love you, and my Father will love you, and we will make our abode with you. The Father and the Son take up their abode in the heart. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. And what did the Lord say? I will send unto you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive or know, but ye know him, and he will abide with you forever. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are resident in your heart and mind, those who are traveling on the narrow road. When I was facing complicated heart surgery, which is 12 years ago now, a lovely little girl, 12 years old, in Dearborn, Michigan, had surgery the year before. And she sent me a lovely card, Uncle Neil, I'm praying for you. Well, when she had the surgery, a grandfather told me that the doctor explained to her what he had done. And she's listening. She said, Doctor, can I ask you a question? Oh, yes, he said. She said, when you opened up my heart, did you see Jesus there? 12 years old. And if it was possible to lose one's salvation, then we'd have to be taken out of the love of God. Paul says, nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And if it was possible to lose one's salvation and have no security, our names would have to be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. The moment we trusted the Lord Jesus, our names were put down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the Lord said to the disciples, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Yes, we have all eternal security in the Lord Jesus. Remember Moses. Moses says, if I found grace in thy sight, show me thy way, show me thy glory. If I have found grace in thy sight, show me thy way. He desired guidance. Show me thy glory. Grace, guidance, glory. The Lord said to him that day, Moses, no one can look at me and live, but there's a place by me. And I will put your feet upon a rock, and I will cause my glory to pass by, and I will hide you in the cleft of a rock and cover you with my hand. That thrilled Moses that day. That was the answer to his every question. Yes, there is eternal security the moment we trust the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior. So you need Jesus for salvation. You need him for security. But you also need him for serenity. There's no peace. No peace out there. The moment Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, he forfeited his position. He was the Lord of the universe. He forfeited his possessions. He was driven out. And he forfeited his peace. And the natural man has had no peace ever since. Destruction and misery are in his ways, and the way of peace he has not known. You remember Rabin met with President Clinton and Yasser Arafat, King Hussein. And there he is in the desert. Peace. This is the beginning of peace. And he quoted the scripture. Oh, he knew the book. He said, this is the evidence that the desert will blossom like a rose. A few days later, he was assassinated. There's no peace apart from the Lord Jesus. When he came to this earth, you remember it was peace. Predicted by Isaiah. Great angelic host. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Goodwill toward men. Peace. And my dear friend, you and I must recall the cost of that peace. He made peace by the blood of His cross. And so today, the believer in the Lord Jesus, who is traveling the narrow road, he has the peace of God that passeth all understanding, garrisoning the heart and the mind. Yes, we have peace. No wonder the Lord says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions, or not so I have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also." Serenity. Remember the demoniac. No one could bind him. The Lord Jesus moves him. Marvelously cast out those demons out of the man called Legion, into the swine, and they ran down and were choked in the sea. Israel said, "Depart from our coast. We'd rather have Satan than you." But that dear man, he found serenity in the Lord Jesus. There he was, sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Serenity. Thank God we can have peace tonight in a troublesome world. So we looked at his character and his course, finally, his conversion. He fell to the earth and heard a voice. He would never forget that voice. Never. What a picture. The voice speaking to this rebel on the Damascus road. He didn't say, "Well, you deserve all you're going to get, Saul." The voice of tenderness. Never man spake like this man. Bride in the Song of Solomon says, "Let me hear thy voice. Let me see thy countenance. For sweet is thy voice, and thy comely is thy countenance." The voice of the Lord Jesus. And it's wonderful to hear that voice regarding salvation. And very soon, we're going to hear that voice. "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." We're going to hear his voice. And that will be a wonderful thrill. His voice is as the sound of many waters. And I'm looking forward, I'm sure you are, who are believers, to hear the Lord sing. I believe he can touch every range of voice in perfection. He says in the psalm, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee." He'll lead the praise. And that will be a great day for God's beloved people. So also, finally, we see him, and he fell to the earth. He buried his pride in the dust of the Damascus road. And he says, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" The road to devotion. And oh, we'll thank God throughout eternity for that road that was traveled by Paul. He gave us these priceless epistles. Speak so beautifully, lovely of the Lord Jesus. He loved the gospel. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I tell you, turning points in world history, he was one of the greatest men that ever lived. All because he came to the Lord Jesus and trusted him as a personal Savior. If you're here tonight, God knows your heart, you're not saved. What a golden opportunity it would be for you to come like Saul of Tarsus, fall on your knees and confess the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior. And the road to devotion was absolutely awesome as he went step by step. "I have glorified thee," he said time and time again, and we thank the Lord again for that road to devotion. We must come to Calvary's cross. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank thee again for the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. We thank thee for the conversion of everyone in our gathering this evening. But Father, if perchance there's one not saved or not sure, we pray they'll be absolutely sure tonight, because time is running out. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We thank thee, Father, that we can be devoted to the Lord Jesus. Paul said, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Help us to be devoted to the Lord Jesus in these last closing days of this dispensation, to bring glory to his name and in the furtherance of the gospel. We ask you, giving thee thanks for this gathering tonight, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Shall we sing in closing? Here we sang last night, it was very appropriate, 230, 2, 3, oh, out of Christ, without a Saviour, oh, can it be, like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea, 230. Out of Christ without a Saviour, oh, can it be? Like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea. Oh, to be without a Saviour, with no hope or refuge nigh. Can it be, O blessed Saviour, what without thee dares to die? Out of Christ without a Saviour, lonely and dark the way. With no light, no hope in Jesus, making bright the cheerless day. Oh, to be without a Saviour, with no hope or refuge nigh. Can it be, O blessed Saviour, one without thee dares to die? Out of Christ without a Saviour, no help or refuge nigh. How can you, my friend and brother, dare to live or dare to die? Oh, to be without a Saviour, with no hope or refuge nigh. Can it be, O blessed Saviour, one without thee dares to die? Out of Christ without a Saviour, dark will the voyage be. Clouds will come, the storms surround you. Oh, to Christ for refuge flee. Oh, to be without a Saviour, with no hope or refuge nigh. Can it be, O blessed Saviour, one without thee dares to die? Out of Christ without a Saviour, trust him with all your heart. Ere the door of mercy closes and you hear his word depart. Oh, to be without a Saviour, with no hope of refuge nigh. Can it be, O blessed Saviour, one without thee dares to die? Thank you.